Well, I really love that song, those songs. We have just made a declaration of our desire to know God more, to go deeper. We began this morning, Jared led us in the songs of I love you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart. We've made our declaration strong and loud. We've sang it. We've testified of it in our Sunday school. And I really, really want God to come through by His Holy Spirit and His presence here. There is nothing more revolutionizing, more revolutionary or revitalizing or life-changing than the presence of Jesus. Nothing can change us more than His presence. Nothing, ever. So I say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Are you active in my life? Are you welcome in my life? Do you feel welcome in my life? What I'd like to talk about this morning is practicing the presence of Jesus, hosting the presence of Jesus. And I'm just here to talk about some of the journey that I'm on in my life to know God more, to experience Him more. I may talk about some of my failures, and I may talk about some of my victories in this walk of God. How we need His presence, how we need His power, how we need His authority, how we need His character in our life for the times where we live right now to give us understanding how to live in life. I'd like to just make a suggestion this morning to the children. If any of you 12 and under would like to take notes, here's what I'd like to tell you. If you want to take notes this morning, and you take some notes, you put them in my mailbox. I will give you a little certificate to McDonald's. Okay. I think church is about big people, it's about little people, it's about everyone. And sometimes it's hard for little children or young children to really enter into it. And so we get distracted and all this and stuff and that. But so I just like to make that. If you want to, no big deal if you don't, but if you do, if you want to take notes, put them in my mailbox, and the next time we're at church, I'll have something for you. Okay? Be sure you put your name on it. So we're talking about the practicing the presence of Jesus, or hosting His presence. Wow, when I think of hosting God, when I think of entertaining God, what could be a greater experience? What could be a greater awe and wonder? When I think about how Abraham, years ago, out there in the plains of Mamre, he looked up and he saw somebody coming his way, and he recognized him as somebody from God. And he quickly said to Sarah, let's kill a goat, let's make food. And God is coming to visit us today. Abraham hosted God. He didn't really realize who it was until they left. We can host God's presence. Something happens when we are in the presence of God that happens nowhere else. You know, God wants to take our level of Christian experience to a higher level. When Jesus came to Mary and Martha's house and Lazarus, Mary was a worshiper, Martha was a server. Both of those are very important in the body of Christ. As Jesus came there and they hosted His presence. But Jesus, as I understand that scripture, wanted to take Martha's service to a higher level, to a different level, to a better level, to a deeper level. He wanted to take Mary's worship to a greater level, a deeper level. So He spoke to her about not just washing His feet with her hair and tears, but worshiping Him out of truth and spirit. And so God today is calling to me. He's telling me, Irvin, I want to take you to a deeper level of my presence. I want you to experience a whole new dimension of me. I want that. I want it desperately. Without it, I can't do life well. Without it, I won't be optimistic. Without it, I won't be successful. The presence of Jesus is what we need to face the times in which we live today in our church setting. It will help shape our responses to each other in grace and in love and in charity. In our community, it would help us to be the worthy citizens that contribute to our societies. In our nation, it will be the people that pray and stand in the gap for this land and seek the face of God and make a difference and help shape culture and public opinion. Because we are the salt and we are the light. We're called to be that. So today, as I speak about practicing the presence of Jesus, I'm talking to myself. I'm saying, I need this. I want this. This is a journey I'm on, wanting to go deeper and experience so much more of Him. You know, God is everywhere present. We know that. That's a big word we use for that, children, is omnipresent. God is everywhere present. He's omnipresent. We know that. But, you know, we fail to recognize His manifest presence so many times. His manifest presence. You know, it's a concept we talk about. As believers, we know He's everywhere. But is He seen in my life? That's the question. Is He seen in my life? Do I experience Him? Is my life radicalized by Jesus? Is it changed? Because I'm walking with Him. So just like God is God, whether people acknowledge Him or not, just so, in the same way, God is everywhere present. But the thing is He seen? Is He evidenced in my life? This is what I want. This is what I long for. When we are in the presence of God, several things happen. In the presence of Jesus, there is a dependency. We become aware of our dependency on Him. When, you know, we can be so self-sufficient and so independent. But when we come into His presence, we see how needy we are. I see how needy I am, how helpless I am, how dependent I am on Him to carry out my life purpose. I can't design my life purpose. I can't live out my life purpose. I become dependent. If I become independent, I walk away from God. Secondly, I become intimate. There's intimacy experienced. There's a dependency experience. There's an intimacy. When we experience the presence of Jesus, there's an intimacy that develops as we get to know His heart. We don't just see His ways. We don't just see the word in the Bible about what God did in the past or hear what He does out somewhere else, but we begin to experience what He's doing right here in my life and around me with my life. Intimacy. And I think the other focus that happens when I'm with Jesus, there's a humility that's developed, has to develop. You know what? When I see I am nothing, I am dust. We sang this morning, we come from the dust. Now how are we to say we are something special and something big and important? We come from the dust. We are only something in God. Our identity is in Him. Humility. You know, pride is the last thing to leave the human heart. And it's the first thing to enter back into it. Pride. It's the thing that God hates the most. You know, in the Bible, David lost, one person died because of David's adultery. His son had to die. Two people, Uriah died. Over his pride, over his adultery. But when David's pride got in the way and he began to number the fighting men of Israel, 40,000 people had to die because of his pride. Pride is the last thing to leave the human heart. It's the first thing to go back in. But we're in the presence of Jesus. When we practice the presence of Jesus, there's no room for pride. There's no room for arrogance. There's no room for self-sufficiency and independence. The manifest presence of Jesus was the cloud of fire that protected the Israelites as they crossed the Red Sea. But it was also the pillar of smoke and darkness that confused and terrorized the Egyptians. The presence, the manifest presence of God. The manifest presence of God is light to the people of faith. It is confusion and darkness to those who do not put their trust in Him. The manifest presence of Jesus, of God, was a burning flame over the Ark of the Covenant. It was the only light inside the holiest place. There was no other light there. When the high priest would go into the holiest place, he wouldn't take a light there because it was lit by the presence of God. The manifest presence of Jesus gives light to our life. It was the lightning bolt that came from heaven and on Mount Carmel as Elijah prayed and faced that great conflict and that great challenge on Carmel before the prophets of Baal. It was that God's presence was that lightning bolt that struck and burnt up the sacrifice. It burnt up the stones. It consumed the water and the dust all around it. That was the manifest presence of God. It's extraordinary. It is something we don't have within ourselves. It was the light that blinded Saul on his way to Damascus, murdering and destroying the church of God. The manifest presence of God was that light that Paul saw. And he said, "Lord, who are you? What do you want me to do?" I know what it is to experience God's amazing presence at times. I have experienced it. I also know what it is like to walk away from it, to disregard it, and to drift away from it. It's so easy to do because there's so many distractions. There's so many other loves in our lives, my life. I call them lesser loves. Our true love is to be God, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. That's our true love. But there are so many lesser loves that distract and take me away from His presence. I find it continually. And so there's some things that I put in my life that help me come back into the presence of God and into the presence of His sweet Spirit. I remember the first time I really experienced God's manifest presence. I was 19 years old. And my life was, I was a Christian. I grew up in a great home. And yet I was careless. I was very careless and nonchalant about my Christian life. I was happy to be a believer and on my way to heaven. But I really, you know, wasn't passionate for God. But I remember at a meeting, a youth meeting, a large rally of youth of several thousand, and as the individual was speaking about God's call and His Holy Spirit and being obedient to Him, something hit me. The Holy Spirit began to work in my heart, and I began to see my heart as God saw it, that I was proud and independent, and I was very carnal in my faith, and something radically shifted in my spirit, in my mind, that very moment. And my life was turned 180 degrees in that very moment. You know, I was 19 years old, and 6 months later, I found myself in a country that I had never been in the country of Belize. And for the next 3 years, I spent my life there. But I would have never believed that that could have happened if you had told me, somebody would have told me that 6 months earlier. It was the radical presence of Jesus. It was the manifest presence of Jesus that affected my life. And I have experienced His presence in different ways at different times. I long for it. I want it. I know what it's like to be there. I know what it's like to not be there. I experienced the presence of Jesus, the presence of God, when He held in a spark plug in my outboard motor when there were no threads to hold it in. I was 26 years old. I was in Central America, and I was going down river in a remote jungle river with 20 people on board my dugout, and the motor began to miss, and it began to sputter, and I have some mechanical background, so I kind of knew what was going on. We were about 10 to 15 miles downriver, and a rapid river, and so I pulled over to the side, pulled out my little toolbox, and began to take out the spark plug, which I knew had fouled up from bad gas that we often had. So as I was turning out the spark plug, it came out very, very hard. And I said, "Oh, no, this is not good." This was a 40 horsepower Evinrude that had an aluminum head. Those of you who are mechanics understand what I'm saying, where I'm going with this. As I turned out this spark plug with the wrench, it came out very hard. And finally, when it came out, all the threads of the head had stripped onto the spark plug and pulled out. There was nothing, there was no threads left in the outboard motor head. And I cleaned the spark plug. I said to the people on board, I don't know what we're going to do. There's no way to get back to our village. It's all solid jungle. And we have another 30 miles to town. And there's just no way to get there. We have one oar, and we don't carry a spare motor. In those days, we didn't carry spare motors, but maybe out of ignorance, out of negligence, whatever, we just didn't. So none of these people on board were believers, so I felt the Lord saying, trust me, trust me. And I'm like, what? This is one of my first experiences of this kind of thing. Helpless. There's no mechanic to call. There's no phone service. There's no village along the way. There's no one for help except God himself. And so as I began to obey God, I told the people, well, God is telling me I need to listen to him. I need to be hearing what he wants to say. So I said, I'm going to pray. And you know, really what prayer is, really coming into the presence of God and letting him tell us what's on his heart. That's really what prayer is. You know, for me, a lot of times I come to God and I want to tell God everything that's on my heart. That's okay too. But really, truly, prayer, coming into the presence of God, is hearing what God has to say to me. Coming into his presence and having him say what he wants to tell me. And so this is what I experienced this day as I was downriver on the Tamash. And I heard God say as I spoke to him, and I said, God, what shall I do? I heard him say, he said, I will hold the spark plug in, put it back in. I will hold it in with my finger. I will hold it in with my finger. I'm like, well, and God said, you know what? Psalm 8 says that when you consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, the sun that you've created, what is man that you would challenge me? So I said, God, well, that's what you're saying. I'm sure you can keep a spark plug in with your finger. And so I put the spark plug back in. There was no threads. I pushed it back in. And I pulled the cord, and it started. And so there's 20 horsepower pumping behind that cylinder on one. And we headed toward town, another 30 miles away. And I was like, is this thing going to stay in? Is it not going to stay in? But I had felt the presence of God. I had felt him speak to me. I heard him say something, and I saw him do it. And so we headed to town. We got to town. I looked for a mechanic. We went about our business. We stayed a couple of days there. I helped to help these people with some things, with their immigrant papers. And so during the next several days, I was looking for a part or a mechanic that could help me out, and there was nobody around. This is a little frontier town. There was nobody to help. There was no parts around. I called up to our center 200 miles away, and I said, please look for a part I need. I can't go back to my village. I got all these people to take care of. I don't know what to do. Send me a part. And they checked and said, there's no part in the country like this. You have to wait a couple of weeks. I looked for a spare motor. I asked somebody, because this is a town along the sea. I said, anybody could give me a spare motor, get back to my village. Now I couldn't find it. There were some missionaries there, and so we gathered together, and I said, look, here's my problem. God spoke to me, and he said, this is what I'll do, but now I'm here, and I need to get back. What should I do? I have no way of getting back. And so we prayed together. Three of us who were there, we prayed. One Mennonite, one Pentecostal, myself. And so we were praying, and as we were praying, there was a unity coming to us that the same finger of God that kept it in can get you home. He can get you home. So this was 50 miles. 50 miles ahead of us, sea, river, up a swifter river, but there was a peace about it. God spoke again, and to the three of us, there was an agreement. And so, after our business was done, we started up the motor, checked the plug, it's very loose, nothing to hold it in, except the finger of God. We committed to the Lord, said, God, please, please, you said this is what we agree on. And we headed back, you know, and we headed back, and you know what? God gave me a peace. Isn't this something about the presence of Jesus? He said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you peace. We're going to look at that in a few minutes. I got this peace. I've completely forgot about the spark plug. I completely forgot it for 50 miles. For 3.5 hours, I completely forgot about it. As we navigated the rapids and got closer to our village, water got shallower. We had to the motor, we had to rev it up, shut it down to get over the logs and things. But as we got to about 400 yards from where our landing was, there was this huge explosion. It was this massive explosion. It sounded like a bomb went off. And the cover of the motor, it flew up, it flew about 50 yards back into the trees, shattered to pieces. The spark plug, God took his finger off. We were home. We drifted to our dock, and we were home. The presence of God is the most wonderful thing in the world when you can experience his presence. I've experienced, I know what it is like to be in his presence, to hear from him, to be intimate with him. I know what it is to drift from him. I don't want to do that. I don't want any of you to do that. There's nothing more exhilarating, more exciting, more adventuresome than walking with God and hearing him speak and say, this is my heart. This is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. Just an amazing thing. I could tell you story after story where God did amazing things when we're willing to wait on him and hear what his heart says. Practicing the presence and the power of Jesus will bring about high praises to him. You know, that whole experience and several others that happened was the beginning of an amazing development of people who saw what God could do. And as a church was planted, people came to faith. They heard the power of God. They saw the power of God. And the church was born. In the life of Moses, in Exodus chapter 33, if you could put up that portion. Here is Moses coming to God. Let me just preface to say a little bit what was happening here. Moses, in Exodus 33, had just come down from the mountain after having been up there 40 days and nights in the presence of God. Moses had been there receiving from God instructions for life, for Israel, for all the millions of people that he was responsible for. He was hearing from God. He was in his presence. If we go back a couple chapters to chapter 20, when God first appeared to Israel and began to speak to them, it says the mountain began to shake, and the roar was so loud, and the fire and the lightnings and the thunderings that was on the mountain was so scary. All the children and all the people said, look, we're scared of God. Moses, don't. You go talk to God. You go on the mountain. You talk to God. We don't want God to talk to us. His presence is too scary. And so, you know, God granted their wish. And God said, okay, these people don't want to be in my presence. They want to experience my presence. Moses, come up to me. And Moses went up to the mountain for 40 days and nights and was there. And God spoke to him. And while he was up there, the people of Israel defiled themselves with idolatry. We're just going to we're going to read this in a few minutes, but here's what it was happening. The presence of God. Moses was experiencing the presence of God. What I've seen in my life, I have seen that there, you know, so many times I want God's presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, presence, Christmas presence. I want his presence, I want his blessings, I want his favors. But I don't really want his presence, his P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. It's a big difference. It's a play on words. It's a play on the ear. But we want God's presence so many times, but we don't want his presence. That's a sad thing. The church of God is not experiencing his presence. They're experiencing his presence. Here's what was happening in Israel. The people were down there making gods out of their earrings, a gold image called Baal, and they said, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. You know what was happening every day in their life? They were experiencing God's marvelous provision by manna and quail. Every day they were going out and picking up manna, getting God's favors, getting God's blessings, getting God's benefits, getting the benefits of being an Israelite, but they were saying, we don't want his presence. We don't want to be in his presence. We just want what he has to give us. I find that that's so much what has happened in my life. Lord, I want the nice living. I want the good, comfortable life of being a believer with other believers, coming to church, being safe, just being normal, being average, you know, not stirring too much stuff up. I want that. But more than that, in my heart, in my true heart, I want his presence. There is nothing like the presence of God. I want it. I want it so much. And so this is what we see happening here. Moses had just come down. God said, I'm going to destroy Israel. I'm going to destroy the people that I brought out of Egypt. I'm going to kill them all. Moses, I'm done with them. I can't stand them. I'm going to kill them all, and out of you, I'm going to make a great nation. Out of you, Moses, you and your family, I'm going to start all over. This is the setting that we come to in Exodus chapter 33. So as you see it behind me as I read from the ESV, the Lord said to Moses, "Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, 'To your offspring I will give it.' I will send an angel before you. I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." This is an amazing concept here that I just can't hardly comprehend, how God is so gracious and he is so amazing and so merciful. He says, "I'm going to keep my promise. I'm not going to destroy them. I'm going to take them up to the land. I'm going to drive out all their enemies. I'm going to give you the good land that flows with milk and honey. I'm going to give you cities that you did not build and houses that you did not build, and you can have it all. I'm going to give you the blessings, even if you don't want my presence, if they don't want my presence. And besides, I'm not going to go up with you, Moses. I'm not going to go up. I'm not going to go up with them." We can experience the favor of God, the grace of God, the blessings of God. This is the amazing concept. America has, the world has, the world is. With all the evil that's going on, there's such a graciousness of God's heart that keeps flowing, keeps flowing, keeps flowing, keeps reaching out to all peoples of all races and times. He's so gracious. He gives us his benefits. We don't want his presence, but we want his presence, the Christmas presents. God said, I'm going to give it to you, but I'm not going to go up with you. When the people heard this disastrous word, verse 4, they mourned, and no one put on their ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Say to the people of Israel, 'You are a stiff-necked people. If for a single moment I should go up among you, I would consume you. So now take off your ornaments that I may know what to do with you.' Therefore the people of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward." Verse 7. Now I want you to see the presence of God, the manifest presence of God showing up in these verses. And now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp. This was the tent of meeting. It doesn't say it here, but he called it the tent of meeting. It's where God would meet with Moses in the tabernacle tent. Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, because nobody wanted to be around God when he showed up. Nobody wanted to be in God's presence. They just wanted Moses to be in there. And he called it the tent of meeting, and everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each one would stand at his tent door and watch. Watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to a friend. When Moses turned again to the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Here was a man who understood the presence of God. Here was a man that was being prepared to be another leader. He wanted God's presence. Isn't this beautiful, where God comes and speaks to Moses just like a friend, face to face, sit down, have coffee, chat over a burger or something. You know what? That's a wonderful thing. God wants to do that with you. He wants to do it with me. He wants to be intimate. And when he's intimate with us and we are with him, we learn to know his heart. We learn to know his ways. We learn to know what he wants us to do and how to do it. And life becomes a lot much more simplex. When we listen to the heart of God, it's not so complex anymore. Yes, there are many complexities, but when we are intimate with God and dependent on him, things change. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord. Now here's where we see Moses, where God had said he's not going to go up with with them, Moses pleads for God's presence. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know with whom you will send me. But you have said, 'I know you by name.' And you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And God said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And Moses said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here." God said, verse 14, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And Moses said, "If your presence does not go with me, I do not bring us from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from all other people on the face of the earth?" You know, our identity is not in our name, our church name. It's not in our personal name. It's not in the clothes we wear. Our identity is not in what we do, what we work. Our identity as believers is found in the presence of our God. That's where our identity is formed. That's where it's evidenced. That's where life is lived out. Moses said, "Lord, how can the people of the world know that we are distinct from anyone else unless you're with us?" It's the presence of God that makes us distinct. It's that what makes us stand out. It's that what radiates from our words, from our personhood, from our faces. It's what gives us life. It's what sets us apart. That is our identity. Moses understood it. His presence gives us our identity. I hope we understand that. I hope we long for it. I hope we reach for it. I hope we pursue it passionately. You know, our service for God can be done with excellence. It can be done with integrity. It can be done with humility, even without God. There's a lot of service. There's a lot of activity in the body of Christ, in the church global, that is excellent, that is with integrity, and that is of a serving heart. There's a lot of that. We can do all that without His presence. But we cannot be a changed, truly changed people without God's manifest presence. That's what I long for. That's what I want. The extraordinary presence of God, the supernatural demonstration that He's with me. He's carrying me through the difficulties of life, the trauma of life. He's giving me hope when there is no hope. It is this supernatural presence of God that makes the ordinary extraordinary, makes normal abnormal, and makes the impossible possible. That's the only thing that can change our world, is the presence of God. It's not our excellent service. It's not our diligence or integrity or our humility in serving. It is the manifest presence of God. You know, if this church, if our church and our lives, and any of you who are not part of this church, if your life is going to make a difference, it's not because of your excellent service, your heart to serve. It's not because you have a good heart. It's because God is with you, and He sets you apart, and He makes you different from all other peoples in the world. He sets us apart. I want this church to be a church on the edge. I want it to be a church that serves God. I want it to be a church that is radical for Him, that does anything He wants us to. I want us to understand, to come into the presence of God and hear what He's saying to us, how we relate to situations, how we live in our times, and how we go into the world with the message of hope, that God wants to live with His people. He wants to make Himself known. He wants to declare His arm and show His might. How is this practical? How do we live this out in a practical way? You know, it just there's some questions that I would just ask myself often, and that I would ask here. I would say, in relation to the presence of Jesus, to hosting God in my life, and to practicing his presence, I ask myself, what preoccupies my thoughts and my desires? What preoccupies my thoughts and desires? In my daily activities, you know, we all go to work, we go to school, we live at home, we do whatever. What is the overarching preoccupation of our thought and spirit throughout the day? What is it that overshadows all that? What are the overriding passions that motivate my actions? And, you know, we can be reactionary or proactive in what's happening in our world, what's happening in our church, what's happening in our family. We can be reactionary to it. We can close up. We can have it becoming hard-hearted. Or we can invite the presence of Jesus and say, Jesus, speak into this. Speak into this situation. Speak into my life. Speak into my giftings and my calling. Speak into my life as I circulate in the world. Show me what to do and how to live. You know, when a couple of months ago when Target announced that they would open their bathrooms to all kinds of whatever, transgender, whoever wanted to use whatever bathroom, you can use it. I was very grieved about that, and I became very angry. And then God began to speak to me, and he said, you know what? It's right to be angry, but it's not right to be reactionary. And so I got on the phone, and I called my local Target place where I shop. Used to shop, love to shop, like to go. I don't like to shop, but if I go to store, I like to go to Target because I could find what I needed there. And they had quality, I felt. So I called up, and I said, I'd like to speak to the manager. Well, they said, well, okay, we'll put the manager on. I spoke to the manager. I said, look, ma'am, I'm just a local resident here. Yeah, I have grandchildren. I have children. I care about your policy. I care, and I don't like what you've done. And of course, she said, well, you know what? It's not my decision. I said, understand that. I'm not blaming you, but I'm just appealing to you. I shared my concerns. I was candid. I was courteous. But I shared my concerns with her. And she said she would represent that interest on. You know what? I'm saying this to say that, you know, there's times when God comes to me and he says, do this or do that. And I say, I don't really want to do that. It just doesn't feel good. But you know what? When God asks you to do something, the only way the world is going to change, only way our situations are going to change is if we become active, become proactive in what God wants us to do. We can all sit back and just complain about life, about the weather, about the politics, about the nation, about the war in the Middle East, and about the criminals all over the world. We can complain about it. Or we can be proactive and say, God, I'll stand in the gap. I'll be your person. I'll be your man. Speak to me. Show me what to do. Show me how to relate to these difficult situations that come that present themselves into my life. God wants to meet with us. He wants to show us his heart. Another question I would ask is, do I obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit? You know, God speaks, and you may say, how do I know the prompting of the Holy Spirit? How do I know his voice? Well, God speaks to us in many different ways. God speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us in prayer. He speaks to us through a brother or sister or another person. He might not even be a Christian. He might speak to us. The Holy Spirit is working. God speaks us speaks to me in dreams or visions. God does that. I've been amazed at some of the things that God has shown me in dreams. In Joel, I take it very literally. Joel chapter 4, God said in the last days, he would pour out of his spirit on all flesh, everyone. Young people, old people, everyone, maiden, handmaiden, and servant. His spirit would be poured out on all people. And he said, and through that, there'll be revelations through dreams and through visions. Old men will have visions. Young men will see dreams. And I believe that. I just believe that. So when I have a dream, this might be a really crazy dream, but I say, God, is there anything in that for me? Is there anything in that for you? So, okay? I have been amazed. I can tell you that God has shown me some things in dreams where I've woken up and I processed it and said, this is really, really weird. But God wouldn't let me rest, and I would get on the phone. And I can tell you a handful of times recently where I got on the phone and I called that person and I said, here's a dream I had about you. And I don't know if it means anything or not, but here's what I dream. I just share that. I care about you. And Each of the times I'm talking about now, it was precisely what that individual was experiencing at that moment. He said, I needed to hear that. You're right on. It's right on. It was a wild, crazy kind of dream. And I said, how does this work? How does this fit? Well, this is where I'm struggling right now, and this is what I really want to face with right now. And you're right on. It's the word of the Lord to me. God speaks to us when we listen for him. You know what I say? Sometimes I'm too busy in the day. I'm too distracted to hear the voice of God. God has to speak to me when I'm sleeping, when there's no other distractions. And God's just doing that. He's been doing that. So I'm saying, don't throw away the dream. You know, when God puts a person on my heart, I don't always call them, but when I wake up and I remember it, I pray for that person. It might be a person from way back in life. I pray for the person. I say, God, I don't know what's happening in their life, but you brought them to me in a dream, and I'm going to pray for them right now. Hosting the presence of God. I like to believe that I'm doing that. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, you know? But anyway, it's fun. It's just an adventure. And it's fun when I get on with that person on the phone. And he says, what? You know what? This is a blessing. This is a challenge. It's going right to my heart. Hosting the presence of God. Practicing the presence of Jesus. You know, it may require some radical stuff. You know, the people in the scriptures that are the spiritual heroes of the scriptures and of history, they are not heroes because they did the ordinary things, right? They are heroes because they did crazy things for God, because God asked them to do it. So Abraham. Abraham, get up and go. Take a walk. Take a hike. Take everything you've got. Just walk through the land. That was crazy. Well, there's some people that do that today. They move around. We think, well, they're not as stable as they should. You know, my son, he's out in a 72 Volkswagen van, just living in his van. I'm saying, wow, this is really different. I'm not sure. That's so solid, you know. But he loves it. He loves God. Abraham, he took everything he had, all his servants, and he just wandered through the land for decades. But he loved God, and he followed God. He heard from God. God would speak to him at intervals, and he would keep moving on. How about Noah? Noah building an ark, crazy thing to do. For us, it's a great story. It's a wonderful story. It's a faith-building story. But will we do the crazy things? Will you do the crazy things? Will you do the things that God says, do this, nobody else is doing, ever done it? And it's really, really crazy. How about Elijah, we just talked about, up on the mountain and facing all those people, not a single person on his side. And he's up there and he says, look, let's see who's God. Whoever brings a fire down from heaven and consumes the altar, that's God. That's pretty crazy in my mind. I don't think I'd be there. I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could walk into the middle of an ISIS camp and declare the word of the Lord. That's scary. But I want to do what God wants me to do. And I hope that each of you is going to be pulled into the heart of God further this morning by desire to follow him, to walk in his presence, to experience his presence, and to know his ways. You know, we don't have to do crazy things all the time. We just have to be obedient to God. Some things are just things that everybody does. But other things are things that God asks us to step out and be obedient and let him become big. It's not about us, folks. It's not about us. It's not about what we do. It's about his glory, his name, his kingdom expanding, and his fame increasing through all the isles and lands of the earth. A couple weeks ago, just a week and a half ago, I was, and I've been trying to be intentional about some of this. I say, God, I want to be your man. Speak to me. Use me. Just a week and a half ago, I want to experience your presence. I want to know what it means to walk in it and to hear from you. So a week and a half, I was on my way to an appointment, and while I was going to the appointment, I felt God speaking to me and saying, you know, when you're done with your appointment, you need to stop in and see an old friend. I had heard just a few days before that this friend was having some serious crises in his life and in his family and in his personal life. I hadn't seen him for years. I didn't know where he worked. I mean, I knew he worked in a certain industrial park, but I didn't know which building. I don't know the name of his company. I didn't have his phone number. But I felt God saying, you know, you need to stop in and see this man. I said, well, how do I find him? I don't know where he's working. And so I said, Lord, I'll be obedient. I'll just, you know what, after I'm done with my appointment, we'll figure it out, right? We'll figure it out after the appointment. So appointment's done. I head down the road, Route 23. I'm heading back to Lancaster, and I'm like, Lord, how do I find this man? And so I come to this road where I need to turn across to turn into the road where this complex, this industrial park was. And I have to wait because I'm heading west. There's traffic coming east. And so I'm waiting there to turn in. And guess what? As I'm sitting there waiting to turn, the person that I want to see at his office is coming. He turns in right in front of me, turns down the road. This exact same person. It's a divine intervention. It's a divine intersection, a divine meeting of two people I hadn't seen for years. And here I just follow him to his office, and I get out of my vehicle, I call his name. And there under a shade tree, I begin to minister to him and pray with him. And I just say, look, you know, you're struggling. I've heard about it. I'm not here to gossip with anybody, but I'm here to tell you I care. And the Lord put it on my heart to see you today. I didn't know how I would find you, but you know what? You pulled in right in front of me on the road, and I followed you right here. Here I am. I love it. It's so exciting. It's so wonderful. Hosting the presence of God is an amazing thing. It humbles me that I can walk in his presence and I can hear his voice. And then he shows that, yes, this is what I've been saying. I don't know where you are. I don't know what God is asking of us here. I know he's calling all of us to a higher level in our experience with him. I know he is. God is never satisfied with just ordinary. He wants us to press in deeper into his heart. And no matter what your vocation, whether you're a homemaker, a business person, a school a scholar, whatever it is, God wants to meet with you. He wants you to host his presence, and he wants to declare his fame and his name through us to the church. Don't be satisfied with his presence, with his blessings. Don't be satisfied with the good things that you experience in life. Don't stop for anything except the presence of Jesus, his glory, and the wonder of who he is and what he wants to do. You know, we can go to church for years, for 3 years, whatever, 4 years. We can go to church and be the same. But you cannot, I cannot be in the presence of Jesus and be the same. I just cannot. I will not. No one can be in the presence of Jesus and remain the same. If you want to change, if I want to change, I have to continually come into his presence. One more thing I'd like to just, the glory of the Lord in the glory of his presence. And I'd like to close with this. When we come into his presence, something happens that we don't even realize. Exodus chapter 34, Moses, after he came down and he broke the Ten Commandments, the tables of stone, and this whole experience that we just talked about now, Moses went back up into the mountain. Did you ever see that? He went back up into the mountain the second time. God said, Moses, I want you to cut out some stones that you broke, just like you broke. I want you to cut them out. I want you to bring them back up onto the mountain, and I will write a new set for you. Moses goes back up into the mountain, another 40 days and another 40 nights, and it says he didn't drink or eat. Because the presence of God supernaturally sustained him for 80 days, 40 days back to back almost. That's what God can do. He can do the extraordinary. He will do the impossible. He will do the unusual. He will do it if we're willing to be in his presence. He will sustain us. So here, so here's the further benefit of being in the presence of God. Exodus 34. And so, in verse 28, and so Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And God wrote the tables of the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And when Moses came down from the Mount of Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. But Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But God called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out, he told the people of Israel what God had said. The people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was so shiny that Moses would put the veil over his face again until he would go in to speak with God. When we are in the presence of God, something happens that we don't make happen. We reflect his glory. We begin to display his light and his beauty and his personhood. We begin to express it without even knowing it. I love it. I just love it. God is calling us here. God is calling some of us here to places and experiences and to things that are way beyond our expectations. You know, God is calling us out of our areas of expertise and into his area of expertise. God is calling us out of our own comfort zones into where he says, come, yoke with me. I want you to learn about my heart. I want you to yoke with me and learn of me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're going to learn about me. You're going to learn my ways. You're going to learn how to do things my way. We can do church our way, folks, or we can do it God's way. We can live life our way, or we can do it God's way. I want to do it God's way. I want to be in his presence. I want to radiate his glory wherever I go. And I want to see his fame spread. I want this church to be a church that is passionate for him and will do whatever it takes to make his name big and to defend his honor throughout this area and throughout the world. I believe that God is calling people from this congregation to places all over the world to lay down their lives for him and to be his people. I know there is that heart in some of you. I know that. Maybe you're afraid, like I am often. I'm afraid to do what God wants me to do. But then I come back, it's nothing sweeter, nothing more precious than being in the presence of Jesus. Are we going to be the people that say, yes, Lord, here I am, send me? Are we going to be able to hear what God is saying and saying, Lord, I'll do that like Samuel did, like young Samuel as a little child would say, here I am, Lord, I'm hearing, I'm listening, I'll do what you say. Let us be the church that practices the presence of God and sees God change our situations, our lives. Will we say, as Moses cried, oh God, give me your presence, and unless your presence goes with me, I will not go. Unless your presence goes with me, I will not go. I'm going to have James and Carla just do that song again that we did. Your presence, Lord, is what I want. It's what I long for. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. If God has spoken to you this morning, if God has touched your heart, and you know that he's speaking a word to you, and you want to identify that, I just ask for a response. It's not to the church, it's not to me, it's to God. You're speaking to God. You're declaring your declaration of honor and allegiance to him, that you're going to follow him, whatever he says, whatever he does. So play that. If you could dim the lights a bit, and let's just listen to God's heart. If you're that person that has felt that God's saying, I want more of you, I want to be in your presence, I want to experience it more, you can stand where you are. You can come to this front, and you can seek God's face.
There's nothing worth more than what I-